The death toll from the big earthquake in Nepal is over 5,000 now and likely will climb even higher. Disaster relief efforts from within the country and from the rest of the world are being mobilized. That includes crews from the Red Cross in several parts of the world. We wanted to know what happens at the Red Cross when a call goes out for help in this or any disaster. So for that, we turn to Amy Schlossman, who is the CEO of the American Red Cross Cascades region based in Portland. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
So at this point, do we know if anybody from this part of the country is going to Nepal?
At this point, we have not received a request for assistance for deployments from volunteers or staff members in the Northwest, but we're standing by and ready to support any relief efforts as needed.
Red Cross, I know, comes under so many different banners and bits of organization here and there in the world. If you can give us some idea if, in a disaster, here, there, or anywhere, what generally tends to happen with Red Cross chapters and facilities?
Sure, absolutely. So the Global Red Cross Network, which is being led by the Nepal Red Cross locally and supported by the American Red Cross and our Red Cross partners all around the world, are all working together in this international response to provide humanitarian aid in response to the devastating earthquake. And so what that really means is that the local Red Cross on the ground, which has extensive experience in responding to natural disasters, and actually the Nepal Red Cross plays a leading role in their government's contingency planning. They've got the lead. And then the International Red Cross Network, of which the American Red Cross is a key member of, provides any assistance and support that we can offer. And so at this point, that includes disaster assessment teams that have arrived on the ground, which include members of the American Red Cross, looking at the situation and determining what we can do to provide support and relief.
Each disaster is going to be a little bit different. So what kinds of training is given to the people who are on those disaster assessment teams?
Sure. So the Red Cross, given the nature of our mission, you know, responds to disasters both large and small on a daily basis. So here locally in Oregon, we have, you know, volunteers and trained volunteers that respond to local home fires every day. We also have volunteers who are prepared to operate shelter operations and stand up mass care and feeding operations. Our volunteers often deploy to disasters around the country. A couple years ago with Hurricane Sandy, we had a large contingent from Oregon that traveled across the country to provide support there. We've had support across the Red Cross network for other major world disasters like the earthquake in Haiti and the earthquake in Japan. And so there is a trained contingent of disaster responders that the Red Cross is proud to call our volunteers that do have experience in responding to both disasters of this magnitude and much smaller local disasters.
When you say the smaller local disasters, I mean, and you jog my memory. The fact is that even on some individual house fires, there'll sometimes be assistance from the Red Cross, right?
Absolutely. In Oregon and Southwest Washington, which is what the Cascades Region Red Cross covers, we respond on average to 2 home fires every single day. So it is our volunteers that are the call the fire department makes in the middle of the night, whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning or it's the middle of Christmas Day. If a local family is displaced by a home fire, the Red Cross is the first call.
How quickly is the Red Cross notified? I'm curious because I would just wonder if you're sitting. Well, it's, you know, we've gotten past the point of pagers, I guess, but it seems like the contact to somebody could be fairly soon after an incident happens to someone.
Definitely. So the Red Cross has a 24/7 emergency response line that fire departments can call and access wherever there are disasters. And it could be fires or it could be local floods or it could be, you know, a tree falling on someone's home, you know, after a bad storm. And so we have volunteers that are on standby all around the country and specifically in Oregon that are ready to respond. They're called our disaster action teams. And they respond day or night, and they are well-trained, and they are well-equipped, and they can respond to single home fires, and they can respond to much larger events that require, you know, bigger shelters.
We were talking about American Red Cross responses to disasters in the context of what's going on in Nepal, where now 5,000 people are dead from a 7.8 magnitude earthquake. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments about the overall effort that the Red Cross does in this or any disaster. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I'm curious about the disaster action people and who are the people who are going to put in for this kind of work. This is not a job for anybody, I'm thinking.
Sure. So, I mean, that's, I think, what makes the Red Cross such a unique organization is we are really powered by volunteers. Across Oregon, we have more than 1,700 volunteers, many of whom are trained as disaster action team members. And, you know, these are individuals who go through pretty extensive training to make sure that they're well-equipped to be able to respond to disasters and that, based on their schedules and availability, let us know when they can be there to respond. So it does take a very special type of person to be a Red Cross disaster responder, but we're very fortunate. We have many throughout the state.
Are some of these medical professionals? Are many of them not? I'm just curious to know about the mix of people and also working versus retired. I mean, you got a couple different, many different walks of life from which you can draw people for this work.
Definitely. It is absolutely a mix. Our volunteer base is very diverse. We do have medical professionals, particularly trained nurses and mental health professionals that help support our disaster response efforts both locally and more broadly across the country and internationally. And then we have people who are simply want to lend a hand and may not have any medical training at all, but can take a shift, whether it's the middle of the night or it's the middle of the day, because they have availability and they sign up to be on call, and they never know when they're going to get called.
And you mentioned, Amy, the people who went to help support the folks who were affected by Hurricane Sandy a few years ago on the East Coast. I'm curious to know what's the most common sort of tasks they end up doing on the other end when they arrive at the disaster scene.
Sure. It really varies. So we had a couple that took one of our emergency response vehicles. Those are those big American Red Cross trailers that you often see in the midst of big disasters handing out food and other relief resources. And they drove that vehicle from Oregon across the country to New York, to New York City, and arrived in Manhattan with a American Red Cross emergency response vehicle. And they spent several weeks on the ground just handing out food to those who were impacted by Hurricane Sandy. We had other volunteers that deployed from Oregon that went and provided mental health support. That's a key function of what the Red Cross does post-disasters, is to make sure that those who need help and need support have people that they can talk to. And we have a very strong contingent of mental health volunteers within Oregon that help support disasters all over the country.
That makes a lot of sense to think about the fact that people really just need to be able to tell somebody about what they're thinking and feeling, because when you're in a disaster, you need to be able to let off some of what you have experienced.
Definitely.
And so how well trained are the mental health professionals? I'm curious if they, I mean, mental health volunteers, because they're not necessarily professionals, I would assume.
They are. So we recruit, you know, trained mental health professionals and volunteers, and nurses who are trained as medical professionals that have all the appropriate certifications. And then they generously give their time to the Red Cross to help support our disaster relief operations.
So what's the general ongoing need at the Red Cross? I mean, it sounds like you're reasonably well equipped in Cascades region, but I mean, are you generally short in a couple of categories of people with certain skill sets you could use? I mean, are you generally needing certain kinds of supplies? Is money better than supplies? I mean, I can't imagine you have a gigantic warehouse full of cots and blankets and that sort of thing, but here's where you can set me straight on that.
Well, we're always looking for volunteers, and there are a lot of different programs and ways to get involved with the Red Cross. So our disaster action responders, and that can be people of many different backgrounds. It doesn't have to be medical professionals. We're always looking for members, volunteers to join those teams. Right now, the Red Cross is very focused on home fire preparedness and prevention, and this comes from the broader issue as we know that every year the Red Cross is responding to more than 60,000 home fires every single year. Locally, we're responding to an average of two a day. And we know local home fires are a preventable disaster. And we also know that when you have a working smoke alarm, you're much more likely to be able to get out safely. And so a big focus of the Red Cross right now is our home fire preparedness campaign. And we've been reaching out to communities all across Oregon to install free smoke alarms, to talk about basic fire preparedness, and also to talk about general preparedness. In fact, this past weekend, we were canvassing neighborhoods in Portland talking about home fire preparedness and earthquake preparedness on the same day that the big earthquake hit. We're going to actually be in Brookings on May 2nd doing a home fire preparedness event, and in Bend on May 2nd. So we're actually all over the state talking about fire prevention and talking about local disasters and what to be prepared for in the Northwest.
Amy Schlossman, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the CEO of the American Red Cross Cascades region based in Portland. We're talking about disaster preparedness generally in the context of Red Cross teams going off to Nepal to assist victims of the earthquake there. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned the home fire preparation events, and is it primarily smoke detectors? And if so, I mean, boy, I would have thought by now everybody's kind of gotten up to speed on smoke detectors.
It is surprising, but we find that many people do not have smoke detectors in their home. And when you think about it, you have, you know, a little fire in your kitchen, something that you're cooking, and you know that smoke alarm goes off and you just want to pull it out from the wall, or you know you need those batteries one day, and so you swap them out for something else in your home. And so what we've found is that we know that home fires are occurring in places that generally don't have smoke alarms. And so it's a preventative measure, and it's also an early detection tool that helps people get out of their homes safely. We had over 50 fire-related home fire deaths this last year in the state of Oregon. So we know this is an issue that is affecting local families every single day.
Is that number unusually high, or is that a fairly standard year-by-year thing?
The number this past year has been higher than the average. It has been creeping up in recent years. Annually, 2,500 people die each year from home fires across the country.
When you mentioned also doing the home fire preparation event in Brookings, and it was right after we talked about earthquakes a bit too, it raised the question about how much sort of prep work you do in coastal communities, which are likely to be the hardest hit in a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, about Red Cross resources and supplies around the region. So I'd like to go back to that as it relates to, you know, our ability to prepare and respond. And the Red Cross, as I mentioned, has a network of volunteers all across the state that are trained responders. And we also have resources that are pre-positioned around the state to be able to respond to disasters, whether it's an earthquake or it's a flood or it's a wildfire. And so those cots and blankets that you mentioned, we do have them, and they are around the state. And they are supported by the generosity of donors who give financially to the Red Cross. And so this is about what the Red Cross has the capacity to do in the event of a disaster, both large and small.
Which raises the question then for people who are just sitting there thinking, I really want to help, and I don't know if it's going to end up in Kathmandu or end up in Eastern Oregon, but if I really want to help, what's the best way that people can help you or help you help the other people?
The best way that people can help from here is to donate financially. You can go to www.redcross.org, and contributions help support disaster relief both here at home and abroad. It's those contributions that enable the Red Cross to be on the ground so quickly and assisting in Nepal after the earthquake. It's those contributions that enable us to respond to two home fires every single day and provide financial assistance to those families who are displaced in home fires and other local disasters. And then, of course, we're always looking for volunteers. So another great way to give is to give your time. And you can access the same website to find out about Red Cross volunteer opportunities. And like I said, we are always looking for volunteers.
Any particular skill sets you're always looking for over others? And if anybody doesn't have those skills, I imagine you're going to tell me they shouldn't feel bashful.
we can find something for everyone. Whether you're interested in responding to disasters in the middle of the night, getting trained to deploy to large scale disasters, whether it's, you know, here in Oregon or somewhere else across the country, or you're more interested in administrative work in an office. We have work to do across the organization. The power of the Red Cross as an international and a national organization is we have a lot of different programs and initiatives, and we have a lot of different needs. And so there's a place for every volunteer.
If somebody wanted to be one of the disaster action responders, Amy, how much training could they expect to go through, and how often to get that training refreshed?
Sure. So there's initial training that we offer that goes through the basic skills that you need to respond. And then there's a time period where we would pair new volunteers with more experienced volunteers. So they would go out on some calls together and learn from each other. We actually have an upcoming disaster academy in Salem the last weekend of May, May 28th through 31st. And this is an opportunity to get trained in all kinds of disaster and emergency response skills. It's a 3.5-day conference where we offer over 80 different disaster response classes. And so for those who are really interested and want to know how they can help out locally at home, I again would encourage them to go to www.redcross.org and look at our Cascades Region Disaster Academy.
Okay, Disaster Academy, May 28th through 31st. So Memorial Day weekend, a different way to spend it for sure. But if you're interested,
weekend after.
Weekend after. Okay, good to know. Good to know. Amy Schlossman is the CEO at the American Red Cross Cascades Region. Thanks so much for spending time with us in the exchange to learn about disaster preparedness.
Thank you.